You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. We're in 2 Timothy, so grab your Bible and open it to chapter 1, verse 6. And as you do that, Through the Bible's President Greg Harris is here with us to quickly catch up with the travels of the World Prayer Team. So hi, Greg, where are we headed today?
Hey, Steve, our World Prayer Team, as always, is on the move. And this week we are in Central Africa praying for Equatorial Guinea, Chad, Sao Tome and Principe, Cameroon, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Wow, I only knew of some of those
countries.
I know.
We actually had to look one of those up before we started recording. So this is another benefit of being a member of the World Prayer Team is you just learn about the world that we live in, and we love it. So as always, we know that there are many challenges in Africa. We've talked about, you and I have been to Africa. We've seen some of those challenges. We've met with leaders. And Through the Bible answers so many of the needs of the church in Africa.
Yeah, and I appreciate, especially in Africa, how we are effectively partnering with ministries in that country. And in the case, I think of Uganda, I think of the local churches that really helped with the translation into the Ugandan language and the ownership that they are taking of the ministry and the way Through the Bible is playing such an important role in building up the church and equipping the saints.
Yes.
And it just goes on and on about how, I could go on and on, I should say, about how Through the Bible, I mean, a lot of these guys become pastors. They don't get to do the whole, you know, North American route of going to seminary and getting educated. Man, they're reading their Bible half a step ahead of their congregation.
That's right.
And so Through the Bible, being able to systematically learn God's word, that becomes their seminary. And the power of that in a country that has so many challenges, the prosperity gospel is deep there, a lot of, you know, syncretism with witchcraft and all this other stuff, and Through the Bible can help cut through that and help cut the word straight.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to read a few of the many, many responses we get. Now, here's one from Camille. He's a gentleman who lives in the Democratic Republic of Congo. I live in Kinshasa and listened to the gospel you present. It touched me a lot this evening. Then I decided to make my decision today to walk with God because I had been leading a sinful life. Mm. Thank you for all you do for us.
Wow. Praise the Lord for that. Here's another testimony from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And this person listens in African French. Thank you very much for God's book. I like the teachings and really need your prayer because I am weak in faith. I work with my brother who is a Muslim and we argue a lot. I need prayer so the Lord will give me patience with him and strength to endure the long hours and discouragements. I am tired of bickering and the sabotage I endure from him because I am a Christian. Intercede for me to bring light.
Hmm. And Steve, we have time for one more short but powerful one from Chad. I have heard your programs and would like a Bible. Hmm. I am perplexed by the person of Jesus and would like to know more. Now, there's a story in a sentence.
Really. There it is. Greg, why don't you pray for our listeners and for the team of workers that we've got that we partner with in Africa as well as we begin our program.
Father, we are completely dependent on you in this process of taking the whole word to the whole world. And we thank you that you bring other people, that together we all get on our knees and then we work. But it's all based on trusting you to do the work. And we thank you that your word is powerful, that your spirit is powerful, and that you're at work in the lives of our listeners in Africa. We pray that you would use the teaching to bless many, many millions of people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee continuing our study in 1 Timothy 1 on Through the Bible.
Friends, we come back here to the first chapter of 2 Timothy, and we got down last time to verse 7. But I would like to go over verse 6 very briefly here for a very definite purpose, as you shall see. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, we've already discussed about the meaning of the putting on of hands. That meant that Timothy was a partner with Paul, and I'm of the opinion that the mantle of Paul fell upon Timothy. I believe that was Paul's intention. This young man was close to Paul, and when he was in prison in Rome, he said, of Timothy, I have no man like-minded. That is, here was a man that could carry on the teaching and preaching of Paul. And therefore, the laying on of hands said, he's my partner. We're together in this. We've joined together in this. And I wish I could put my hands on many of you to make you partners in this ministry, because we want you to be a partner in of getting out the word. But now, notice what Paul has said here, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Now, this man had a gift, and Paul urges him to stir it up. Now, what would that indicate to you? I do not want in any way to cast any reflection on this young man, Timothy, because I think he was a wonderful young man. But Paul, at this time, he was in Macedonia, and this young man was in Ephesus, and Ephesus was the place where there was the temple of Diana, one of the great sin spots in the Roman world. And there were many allurements. There were many enticements in the city there for a young man in Ephesus. And Paul knew that, for Paul had spent 3 years there. And I'm just wondering if maybe he was afraid that Timothy might be reluctant and hold back, and that there might be a danger. You can see in this the concern of the Apostle Paul for this young man. He loved him, and about every verse makes that clear. He calls him my dearly beloved son. How lovely. That was in verse 2. Now, will you notice in verse 7, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, this word fear actually could be better translated cowardice. Now, I think that a great many of us have misinterpreted this, and I know I have in the past. I remember that when I first began to travel by air, I didn't want to. I had to make engagements, still do. And I do a great deal of flying because I have to do that. But I don't enjoy it. And at first, this disturbed me a great deal. Many years ago, I would make a flight, and then I would lie on a board filled with nails, as it were, rebuking myself because of my fear. Well, fear is a natural thing, and it's a good thing. I'm really afraid of a lion. I would not want to meet one in the street. The scripture has something to say about that, a lion that's loose in the street. Well, I'd want to tell you, I'm going to look for a good place to hide from a lion. I have a fear of a lion. And I think that's a normal human being to have fear. And many of us, for some reason, have a fear of flying, of height. And it is something that we try to fight. I prayed about it. And I used to wonder why the Lord didn't remove that from me. But I just kept right on flying. Now, may I say this? What Paul is saying here is this. God hath not given us the spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, actually, sound mind here means discipline. In other words, God does not intend that defeat should be the norm of Christian living. In other words, we should be disciplined Christians and not be a slave to our emotions. Many of us today are slaves to our emotions, and we are moved by that. And that's the reason that when the picture of a poor little hungry orphan is put on literature, people will send in money. I've been looking around for a picture. There have been times in this broadcast, I wonder, maybe we didn't need something like that. Why? It appeals to people's emotions. Now, Christians ought not to be motivated by emotions at all. I think, frankly, we can be carried away by them. Therefore, our emotions are not to master us. We're to be disciplined. All right, let's come back to this. Is it wrong to have fear of flying? No, it would be wrong to stay home. You see, if you're a disciplined Christian, you're going to grit your teeth, go down and get that ticket, and you're going to take that trip because it's in the Lord's work and it's essential for the thing that you're to do in your lifestyle for God. Therefore, you do that. Why? Because you're disciplined, you're living and overcoming your emotions. And then you're going to sit there like I do, gritting your teeth and wondering how many more hours it'll be, and every hour seems like an eternity. And if the plane starts bouncing around, I always have a tendency to grab the seat in front of me. And I don't know why I do that. I've thought that through, because that seat in front of me is not any safer than the seat I'm sitting in. But I don't know. I grab hold of it and I feel a little better when I do that. Now, this verse is a wonderful verse. You and I are to overcome these things. God doesn't intend for us to be defeated Christians in our lives today. Now, a great many people, their emotions have so affected them that they, well, very frankly, on the trip I made to Bible lands, I didn't want to go to Egypt because I'd had a bad experience there, and I was very emotional about it. I just didn't like Cairo, Egypt, and I didn't want to go there. But actually, the Lord forced it on me. I was going into Jerusalem and wait for the tour group there and have a couple of days to rest. But every hotel was filled. We couldn't get a reservation. So I said, I'll be smart. I'll stay in Athens and wait for them and fly over when they fly over. But you know what? They wouldn't let me stay in the hotel because the space had all sold out. And there wasn't but one place for me to go, and that was to Cairo, Egypt. I'm glad I went. Actually, it was forced on me to do it. But I thank God I overcame my emotions, and I didn't overcome them. The Lord forced it on me. But I'm thankful that He did, because not only had a delightful visit, I learned a great deal. Now, I believe that that's the meaning of this verse here. Now, let me move on. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, I've just read, by the way, verse 8 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. I think probably I ought to say a word or two relative to this verse here. I have labeled this chapter Afflictions of the Gospel. And there is a feeling today that the Christian life is a life that ought to be very easy and nice and sweet, and that it'll be bright and breezy. I'm afraid that a great many of us think that we have an indulgent Heavenly Father, that He's going to just put us on a bed of roses, remove every stone out of the pathway, and that nothing is really going to happen that's going to be very serious. Well, my friend, He's saved us. He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. The very important thing for us to note here is that even the Lord Jesus made it clear that we were going to have trouble. He says, in the world, you shall have trouble, tribulation. The Christian will not go through the great tribulation, but you and I are sure going through the little tribulation. We're going to have trouble in this life. And to attempt to avoid that and think that because we're Christians, that we can avoid it. Someone sent me, he's a man that's a lawyer down in San Clemente, he's retired now, and he sent me some statements that they found in wills, which are quite interesting. Here is one. It says, to my son, I leave the pleasure of earning a living. For 25 years, he thought the pleasure was mine. He was mistaken. May I say to you that a great many folk feel that way about our Heavenly Father. That means that everything's going to be easy. Well, may I say to you, the Christian life is just simply not that kind of a life. Samuel Rutherford made this kind of a statement. He says, if you were not strangers here, the hounds of the world would not bark at you. And the Lord Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. There's something wrong if you become too popular as a Christian. I'm afraid a great many Christians are like a little boy in Sunday school. The teacher said, Johnny, which of the parables do you like best? And the little fella said, the one where somebody loaves and fishes. And I'm of the opinion that a great many people think that's the Christian life. My friend, it's not. Paul says here, you're a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us. Now, let me go over this again. And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, this is, may I say again, a very wonderful verse here for the child of God. God's wonderful purpose in the gospel, it was hidden in ages past, but it's now revealed through Paul, you see, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. But we've been told that this has been a mystery, and it was hidden in ages past. Now, we find here that we are to take the place down here of one that is going to have to pay a price. And God has a purpose in mind when he does that. He called us, and he called us to this for a very definite reason. Now, let me move on here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Now I'm reading. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, this is a very wonderful verse. It's a verse that we need to put a great emphasis on, and I'd like to do that. Who hath abolished death is, I think, since he has made of none effect death. In other words, death means something altogether different to the child of God today, and he's made it of no effect. Now, God did not eliminate death by the cross. The very interesting thing to note is that the man who wrote this was in prison again with the sentence of death upon him. And what he's talking about here is not physical death, but spiritual death, eternal death. That is eternal separation from God. Now, Christ has abolished that so that no sinner need go to a place where he'll be eternally separated from God. Because today, he's the mediator, one mediator between God and man. He has satisfied God, and he's satisfied man. In fact, God is satisfied with what Christ has done for us. And the great question today is, are you satisfied? And that's what it means. You be reconciled to God, God's reconciled to you. And let me repeat what I said last time. Man cannot be saved by perfect obedience. He cannot render it. He cannot be saved by imperfect obedience because God will not accept it. And that leaves only one solution to the dilemma, and that is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, this is tremendous here, you see. And now he says, verse 11, unto which I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, he's a preacher, he's a herald of the Word of God. And he was an apostle, and he was a teacher. And he had several gifts, you see, the apostles did. I doubt whether any man has more than one gift. I heard Dr. Chafer say one time he'd never met anybody he thought had more than one gift or anybody thought he had two gifts. Now, I've met preachers who thought they could sing, and my experience has been either they couldn't sing or they couldn't preach. If it wasn't one, it was the other. And I've always been wanting the gift of singing, but I sure don't have that. Frankly, I don't believe he'd let you have two gifts because it's difficult enough to exercise one. Now, will you notice, verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Now, he's in prison. Sentence of death is upon him. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. And that's very important for us to note here. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. And that's one of the words that appears here. Paul said to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And he urges Timothy not to be ashamed either. Back there in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now, sometimes people are reluctant, Christians, to witness. I'm amazed that we are all tongue-tied at times, but we ought not to be. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, that which I have committed unto him should be that which has been committed unto me, or better still, my deposit. He's made a deposit with me, and that's what made him debtor to the entire world. And you and I are debtors today. We hear Christians say, I pay my honest debts. You and I haven't paid our honest debt until every man on top side of this earth hears the gospel. Now, he says that he's able to keep it. And that, my friend, is a great comfort today to know that we are in his hands. Now he says here, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. And I insist that the words of Scripture are inspired. I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Word of God. And I do not believe that any other viewpoint is satisfactory and certainly does not satisfy Scripture. We're going to have occasion to talk about that later in this epistle. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in us. And that is important to see that the Christian life is only lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, because this thing he talked about back there of power and of love and of a sound mind, that's all the fruit of the Spirit of God. Now, verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they who are in Asia turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And Paul really calls them by name, does he not? Those that have been unfaithful here, and these apparently had been unfaithful. It's quite interesting to note here that back in the first epistle, he says some have fallen away. And now here in 2 Timothy, he says all have forsaken me. Some had forsaken him before. I call your attention to that because there have been several that have called attention to it. It seems to me that the apostasy is not the thing that characterizes the last days, but you're going to see it, and we have seen it through the entire history of the church. I had a church history professor one time said that the history of the church is the history of apostasy, or, as he put it, the history of heresies. Well, how true that's been. And I think that's the point Paul has in mind. Now he said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain. Well, here is a wonderful saint of God. I'd love to have been Onesiphorus, and I'd hated to have been Hermogenes. Now he says, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Isn't that lovely? Paul's in prison, but this man, probably there on business, important businessman, he looks up Paul. Probably Paul led him to the Lord. And you can't despise the man who led you to the Lord, that is, if you've been genuinely led to the Lord. Verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And I take it that he lived in Ephesus, made a trip over to Rome. Apparently, do you gather from this epistle, there's a great deal of travel in the Roman world of that day. Well, we're going to have to leave off there at this particular time, and we'll pick right up at chapter 2, 2 Timothy, next time. So until then, may the Lord bless you, my beloved.
Can you see some similarities between the first century and the 21st century? Well, there certainly is a great deal of travel in our day, more than ever before. And that goes for communication as well. Praise God for so many new and different kinds of technologies that make it possible for God's Word to travel the world and to be used by His Spirit to change the hearts of those who hear it. If you'd like to partner with us in prayer and by providing resources to help the Bible Bus circle the globe in more than 250 languages, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here next time as we go through the Bible together.
Jesus made it home, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
The church and the city, with the city in our hearts. A special sympathy to the, one of the sisters who her son passed away. We're so sorry. I am Minister Gloria Ross from New Life Seminary in Melbourne, Florida, and the church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. Come and be blessed. Here's Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there in Radio Land. We thank God for another opportunity to be in the land of the living, because he's the only one that is responsible for everything during the course of the day, even at night. And we pray that that all out there in Radio Land, that you thank God for what he's doing in your life. He woke you up this morning and allowed you to see another day. And this is why we all rejoice and say, Lord, we thank you, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. He's merciful and compassionate. And I tell you, when you keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at what the Word of God says. We're going to go into 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. For starters, because we want to just talk about the healing power of Jesus and what he's done for us. He's done so much for us all, and we just need to praise him. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, Lord, I just thank you right now for just being able to walk on my own, praise God, or even to see, because all things that he has blessed us with, praise God. We thank him for it in the precious name of Jesus. But let's look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, Minister Gloria, as we...
It says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Well, praise God, praise God. He said that who his own self, he did it. This is where we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of all the difficulties and the situations we are going through, we just thank God for it, for not for the situation, but we thank God in everything, praise God, giving him all the grace, the glory, the mercy, and everything that he has blessed us with. Well, Peter's saying here that who his own self bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And I want to tell you today, if we were healed, then we are healed. And we should just keep our heart and mind on what God's word says. And I believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. I believe his report. He said that by his stripes that we are healed, then we are healed. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the word of God is clear. And Minister Glory, would you...
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Praise God.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Praise God. We are healed. Isaiah looking forward to the tunnel of time, should I say, because what's happening is that he prophesied this, that there was one that's coming that will die for our sins, and his name is Jesus. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that he is the only way back to the Father.
Amen.
He is the way,
That's right. The
truth, and the life.
That's right.
And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And we want to thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he came into this world to deliver us from all of our sins. And he said this is an evil world, and it is an evil world. If Jesus said it, he knows exactly what it is. And, Minister Gloria, we want to look at another verse of Scripture there in Galatians, praise God, in Galatians here. Amen. Praise God. We want to look at that in Galatians, praise God. Hey?
Galatians?
Yes, we want to look at Galatians 1 and verse 8 and 9, praise God.
Okay, it says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, to say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you receive, let him be accursed.
This is why we have to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give him all the praise, because he is the way, no other way. And I want to say out here, out there in Radio Land there, that the God in whom we serve, he's merciful and compassionate. He's long-suffering. And I tell you, he loves you. He loves us all. Praise God.
Amen.
Because he died for us all. Praise God. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 2 that he is, and we need to keep that in mind, that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
And we thank God for that, Minister mm-hmm. Lord, because we can do nothing without him. We need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Because he's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's merciful. Yeah. Praise God. And he's done everything for us.
He
hung there on Calvary's cross. Mm-hmm. He took all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease, and he nailed it to his cross. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, we need to honor him and glorify and magnify his name.
Yes.
Praise God. Keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. In any kind of situation that will develop in your life, you have authority over it in the name of Jesus. And that name is above every name. No matter what the situation is, Jesus is still Lord. Praise God.
God.
And that's where our faith has to be, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not in what we feel that we are able to do, because we can do nothing apart from him. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise God. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, I want you to read that, because we can do nothing without Jesus.
Philippians 3 and 13.
Philippians 4 and verse 13.
Philippians 4 and 13.
Praise God.
For it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me.
Praise God. You see, we need the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our strength. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is everything. And when we put our trust in him, he will see us through. Praise God. When we thank him and praise him for everything. Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
That he is able to do all things.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, minutes ago, mm-hmm. we want to just lift up the name of Jesus and
praise
thank
God.
Him for his healing power.
Amen.
And everything that flows through us, because that's the report that we believe. We believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise
it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Praise God. Now unto him,
mm-hmm.
no one else only the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, mm-hmm. according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
Well, I ask today out there in Radio Land and even here, what power is working in you? Is it the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in you, that's giving you direction and bringing forth healing in you? We must trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of the living God worketh in us because we believe what the Word says. And I want to tell you today that in Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus was telling his disciples, and I strongly believe that you are one of his disciples as well.
Amen.
If you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Minister, you want to read Acts 1 and verse 8?
Yeah, he says, but you shall receive power.
Praise God.
After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
That's the power that should be working in us all.
Amen.
As children of God.
Amen.
Our faith must be in what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that you shall receive power.
Amen.
After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I thank God today, praise the Lord, for everything that he's doing and what he has done in all of our lives as children of God. Praise the Lord.
And you know what, Pastor, Philippians 2 and 13, we must remember it's not us, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure, not us trying to do anything. It's only about him. Amen. Praise.
Well, it is him, because he's the one that's doing everything.
Amen.
That's why our faith and trust has to be in him. Praise God. Amen. In the Word of God tells us in Colossians 2, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to look at the 12th and 13th verse, mm-hmm. because we give thanks. And that's what we have to do. We have to give thanks unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has done everything for us. Praise God. And let's look at that verse of scripture there. And in Radio Land, I want to tell you that we need to look at what Colossians 2 and verse 12 and 13 is saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Minister Glory, you want to read that?
Well, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. He has forgiven you all of your trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why we have situations in our lives is because we have not confessed problems that we have. And we all need to bring whatever it is to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, heal me.
Amen.
Heal me, Lord. I believe what you said in your word. Heal me, because you are able to do it.
Yes, he can.
And this is why we trust him.
Amen.
We trust the Lord, regardless of the circumstances or whatever it is that's going on in our lives. Like you said before, whose report we're going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
And what the Lord said,
mm-hmm.
we're going to believe, because what he's done it all,
mm-hmm.
on the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
His blood was shed.
That's right.
For us all.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's why we must give him thanks.
Yes.
Unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Excuse me. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Praise God. Even the forgiveness of sins.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Giving thanks.
Yes.
Unto the Father, who has made us partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. We are in the light.
Amen.
When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are in the light because we ask light to come into us. Praise God.
Amen.
And what Colossians is saying here, Treasure Colossians, he's saying here, well, give thanks unto the Father,
praise God,
who has made us able to be partakers mm-hmm. of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Eternal life.
Amen. Mm-hmm. In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Ooh, glory.
In whom he has delivered us
Amen.
From the powers of darkness
mm-hmm.
and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Amen.
We are in the kingdom regardless of the circumstances.
Glory
we are
God.
Born again by the Spirit of the living God. We have power that's operating on the inside of us by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus did it all. I said Jesus did it all. Mm-hmm. And what he's done is that he's made it possible. In Romans 8 and verse 11, praise God,
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you today that the Spirit that raised up Jesus,
yes.
it's the same Spirit that we have in us. And Minister Gloria, you want to read that? Because the power that's operating in our lives, praise God, is the same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead.
It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Praise God. Resurrected power.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Resurrected power. This power is power that operates according to God's will. This power is not ours. It's been invested in us. Praise God.
Amen.
And I tell you, a lot of people try to say, well, they have this power. But I want to tell you, the power is not yours. Mm-hmm. It belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he anoints us and brings us into a place where we can receive this anointed power that operates in all of us as children of God. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, and we look at what the Word of God says, and it tells us that this power belongs to God.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
This power belongs to God. And we have to depend on him. Praise God. We don't go around boasting or bragging about, well, I have this power. This power belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Minister Gloria had ministered before there in Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, Jesus says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you.
Praise God.
So he's telling you where this power comes from. So now in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, Minister Gloria, you want to read that?
It says, praise but God. We have this earthen
this treasure
and earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Now that tells us where this power lies, and God has the power. Praise God. And as the scripture tells us, and we need to stay focused on it, that the treasure,
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is treasure, praise God. The treasure is in earthen vessels.
Yes.
And we are earthen vessels.
Yes.
Praise God. And the excellency of the power is not of us.
Amen.
But it's of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we know where this power lies and who the power belongs to. And we thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Because
that is wonderful.
We have the victory. We have the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We have victory.
You know what it says? This is in Colossians 3 and 1. It says, if ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Amen.
Where Christ sit on the right hand of God. And it says, set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Wow.
Whoa.
Might as verse of scripture there.
Amen.
That it's not us.
No, it's not us.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, everybody out there in Radio Land, if you believe and trust in what the Word of God is saying, you will be able to walk in the victory.
Praise God.
That's right. And this victory that he has given us
is from Jesus praise Christ.
God, only by the Lord Jesus
but Christ. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Everything's about Jesus.
And we want to walk in that victory, praise the Lord. We want to walk in the victory that he has given us. And the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57,
mm-hmm.
praise God, that we are,
mm-hmm.
praise God,
victorious
through our Lord and Savior Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Who gave us the victory?
Jesus Christ.
Praise God. And it says, and That victory, we're not fighting for the victory.
We have it.
We already have the victory.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that since we have this victory, we are to be steadfast.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Unmovable.
Unmovable.
Always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for that today, because the victory lies in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that's done it all.
He's done it all.
There's nothing that we can do in of our own strength,
nope.
You know, mm-hmm. but make a mess of what's going on. But if we depend on the Lord Jesus Christ and thank him for everything that he's done. You know, Minister Gerg, I want to show you that in scripture here that Jesus, he did it all. In Colossians 2 and verse 14,
mm-hmm.
and in 15, he's given us the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
2 praise and 14, God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Praise
it
God.
It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us.
Praise God. See, that's what he did. He blotted out the handwriting and the ordinances that were against us and contrary to us by taking it out of the way. Nailing it to his cross.
Amen.
Now that 15th verse is what I want to tell you, that Jesus has done it all.
Yes.
And that he did this at the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the blood still has power. Praise
yes.
God. I said the blood of Jesus still has power. That blood covers us from all sickness and disease, griefs and sorrows, whatever it is, the blood has power. In the 15th verse, 10 minutes ago,
and says, having spoiled principalities and powers.
Amen.
He made a show of them openly, triumphing them over them in it.
Praise God. He did that all by the cross of Calvary. Praise God. He
Amen.
And he alone gave us the victory. He gave us the power. And the enemy can't do no harm to us no matter what he's trying to do. We have power over him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We have power. Praise God. And if we're going to look at, you remember when he gave the disciples power, praise God, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, when he sent them out, praise God, he gave them power, and he's also sent us out. He says that as the Father has sent him, so send I you. So he sent us out as well. So in Matthew, the 10th chapter, when he called his disciples together, praise God, in the 10th chapter, and he gave them power.
Yes.
You want to read that, Mr. Gloria?
It says, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, he gave them power.
Yes.
So the power wasn't of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's of God. So he gave them power. Praise God.
Yeah.
Now, in Luke, the 10th chapter,
mm-hmm.
in verse 19,
yep.
these 70, well, first of all, they were disciples. And then a disciple is one that follows the master of his teacher.
Amen.
Then they became apostles when he sent them out. Praise God. So in Luke 10, in verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read that, Mr.?
Because behold, I give unto you power
Amen.
To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, I'm going to say that again, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, this is what he did. He sent them out.
Mm-hmm.
They came back rejoicing, and they were saying that, Master, even the spirits
mm-hmm.
are subject unto us in your name.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that name is powerful.
That name is powerful.
The name of Jesus
That's
is
right.
powerful.
That's right.
That's why we can speak that name in any given situation, and it brings forth healing in our body.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, bring forth healing in our bodies.
That's right.
When we depend and believe what that word says.
Yeah, because it says, wherefore God also had exalted him, Jesus.
Yes.
And given him a name which is above every name.
Yes.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and all things in heaven and all things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Glory to Father.
Praise God. What a mighty name. Praise the Lord. That's why when we speak the name of Jesus, whatever the situation is, if you have sickness in your body, speak the name of Jesus.
Speak the name of Jesus.
And thank him for what he's done, because he's done it all at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
He took all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease, and he nailed it to his cross. And this is why we can depend on what he has done for us all.
Amen.
And when the enemy tries to come in, the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So what's happening is that the enemy is always trying to stop you from doing the will of God. But we give Jesus the praise,
amen,
and the honor, because he's given us power. You know, Minister Gray,
yes,
back there in Luke 10 and verse 19, I wanted to mention something else there, that
okay,
he gave us power.
Yes.
That word power is authority. Mm-hmm. He gave us authority over all the works of the enemy.
Yes.
Praise God. And he did that to you and to me as a child of God. We thank him for it. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. We thank God that we have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. Praise God. And Mr. Gloria, you know, in Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10, mm-hmm, it tells us, praise God, that if we believe in our hearts, and this is where everything has to be. It starts in the heart.
Amen.
Praise God. The enemy tried to work in your mind, because the mind is the battlefield. Mm-hmm. But what's taking place is that your mind, you have the mind of Christ.
Right.
Praise God. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, it tells us that we have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to get it. So we want to think the thoughts of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, Minister Gloria, would you extend an invitation to all those out there in Radio Land that need salvation? Praise God.
That if thou should confess with thy mouth,
amen,
the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in Jesus Christ.
Praise God, by faith in Jesus Christ. Because in Galatians 3 and verse 26, it says that for we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. I thank God for you tuning into the broadcast, wherever you are, and keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that has done it all. God bless you all out there. Until another broadcast. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.